Hi everyone, great to be back again. I've got something for every one of us tonight, I believe. I want to share on sharing our faith. It takes some doing sometimes, doesn't it? I know, well, for a lot of time I get scared, even now, that we're scared in a righteous way, if that's a right saying, but we never know. We might need to share our faith. It's great coming to church and being along Christians. It's a bit easier then. And, well, I think so. And, of course, we appreciate it. But we live in a world, as you know, that doesn't want anything to know about Jesus Christ. They don't. And I just want to throw a load of scripture at you tonight, because it's helped me so much in my walk with the Lord. It took a lot of years to get where I am now, well, 40 years, to get where I am now. And but it's been a walk that has, in the early days, like I say, I was very scared, but I was scared more of things of getting it wrong, sharing about my faith in Christ, or maybe sharing scripture I wasn't quite sure of. And I learnt a lot of things like that. And also I learnt a lot of things working with Graham Stanford, not to be like him as well. But I learnt a lot of valuable lessons, and we come from one another because we're all different. That thing Matey Boy was saying just speaks to me so clear that we're all different in Christ. That was right for this bloke sharing. That was brilliant, but that was for him. But you have your own walk with Christ, your own life, your relationship, and it's so important and then that you get it right. So I'm going to... Some reasons why we should share our faith. If you haven't got one, this is a night. In the Bible it says, now is the day of salvation. And Graham will speak on that later. But I have a faith in God that I couldn't buy, that I couldn't earn. I didn't know what was going on in my life. That was back in 1976. The best thing I've ever done in my life is go on my knees and give my life to Jesus Christ. It's the best thing I've ever done. And it still is. But here's some reasons, or because it's one. Because God has commanded us to do so, to share our faith. God has commanded. It's not a free will. It's not a choice. He wants us to share. If you've got something to offer people in Christ, you share it. But when it's right, okay, it's important. But it's right with you, it's right in your heart, and it's right to do it. So it's a command. And it says in Acts 1:8, it tells us that we're to be witnesses. And it can be a good witness or a bad witness or whatever you want to call it. And there's sometimes I've come away on a Tuesday night after a kick out with lads and I just felt I've let the Lord down in certain things. But God does things his way. Whatever we think or say, God can make something good out of it. Okay, it's important you know that. We will make mistakes. It's inevitable. But on God's side, we have forgiveness and we're able to be a witness. And the second one, because it demonstrates our love for God. Now, that's a powerful word, isn't it, love? It says in the Bible to love one another. It takes some doing, doesn't it, when you think about your next-door neighbour, maybe, or maybe somebody in church, or, you know, somebody's been a pain in your neck all your life, to love them. And that takes some real thinking about it. You've really got to search hearts. I've got to search mine. Because a lot of this, it's all about me, what I've been through, but we can learn by other people's things, okay? So it's important, and love is very important. And you'll find that in John 14, verse 15. And it also says, because all are lost. Your neighbours are lost, or the people you know in your lives are lost, aren't they? You know they don't want anything to know about Jesus. And they're in a lost eternity. And hell's real, as that picture shows. Hell is real. We have an enemy that wants to stop us doing anything good. He didn't want you to come here tonight. He was doing his best to stop you coming here tonight. He stopped me and Graham coming here tonight. He's changed all the road things around the area. We got totally lost. But we stopped. We asked one person about how to get here, and he was a Christian. The only person we stopped, and he told us that where we were and how to get there. And that was brilliant. One person we stopped, and he was a Christian. He knew about Crown Lane. He knew about you people. Don't know who he was, but there you go. But God does these things. So, And it says in Romans 3:23, all are lost because we've all done something wrong. We've all sinned, haven't we? We've all done something wrong. We're all guilty, aren't we? You can answer it if you want. You know, we've all done something wrong. Some people have done things worse than others. But in your life, you know what you've done wrong. And I tell the lads at football, there's two things in life. You can't cheat yourself. You can't cheat God. You can't. So, okay. So we've got to learn by this. If you're still sinning or you're doing things wrong, it's got to stop today. That's what God wants to do. To get on the right terms and keep your eyes on Jesus. And it says, Paul, because our sharing is a method to tell all people. And the word I've chosen here is repent. That's a brilliant word in the Bible. I love it. In Acts 3:19, it says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And I thought that's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible to me, because I had a lot of things wrong in my life. And when I read this, that God will forgive me. No matter what I've done wrong, he forgive me. Hey, brilliant. I love that. And I thank my God for that. But it goes on to say, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And to me, these are them. They're coming and sharing my love, or Jesus' love for me, and give me a faith to share and go around the area with Graham. And it's been a tremendous privilege to go and share what Christ can do in someone's life, and turn someone's life upside down and give you a new start, a new beginning. It's brilliant. I love it. So whatever you've done wrong, you repent. You mean it with all your heart, and God will help you. There's no doubt about it. I believe with that with all my heart. And five, because God desires to save all people. Now that's where you come in. That's where you live. That's between where you live and where you go, how you live in Christ. In Christ. That's the most important, in Christ. Not of yourselves, but in Christ. Where you live, what you do, if you're at school or at work, whatever you do for a living. But it's got to be in Christ. And God will help you, because God says in his word, he desires all people to be saved. That's a tremendous responsibility. But if you belong to Christ, it's his responsibility, and he wants you to share it. You know, he wants, we're all different. We're all, it says it in God, we're all different. We're all, it's brilliant. You know, we're not like robots, you know. We're not robots. In Christ, we're all different. Your walk with Christ is so different to mine. And another because only redeemed sinners can tell lost sinners about Christ, because someone shared their faith with us. I don't know how you got here tonight, this in your walk with the Lord, if you're walking with Jesus, that Jesus Christ sent someone to talk to you. He sent a guy to me back in the 60s, actually, Bible Basher Bill. We used to call him. He's Christian, used to get on our nerves at work, telling us about Jesus, how we should be saved. But God sent this man to speak to me, to help me. And I can't thank God enough. So, I'm going to leave you with two verses of scripture that are very powerful. And what's helped me again, if you're reading your Bible daily, you're on a good track. If you're not reading your Bible, you're struggling. I'm telling you now, anybody, if you're not reading your Bible daily, you will struggle with your walk with the Lord. And Satan, he can get in and turn things sour. Because we do have an enemy. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He doesn't want you to go to church. He doesn't want you to be good. We have an enemy. And the only way we can beat the enemy is in Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. And that's why you need your Bible daily. Don't let it be a punishment. No, I've got to read my Bible. If it's like that, you're wasting your time. It's got to be a joy. Going to church for fellowship, it's got to be precious. I run to church on a Sunday morning. I can't get there fast enough. I love it. Can't get there fast enough. And that's because it's a joy. And I love it. And I want to share Christ with it. But God's given me a gift. That doesn't leave us, just save us and let you get it. It gives us the gifts. It can give us all different gifts. And I believe with all my heart what God's gift has given me is to encourage people. That's why I'm here tonight, to encourage you people to get on track with Jesus, to do what God wants you to do. Not your own thing, Well, God will give you everything you need. He will tell you in the Bible, in Scripture, it's full of good news. It's full of what you need and what to do and where to go. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. I'll just tell you one thing that happened to me. I've just been a Christian not so long. And I used to have a trouble with drink in my first marriage. I used to beat my wife up. I used to give her black eyes and bust her ribs, smash the house up. I used to do awful things. And I thought drink was a new thing. I thought it was something in the modern day. But it is in Proverbs 23. It tells us how we like to drink and get drunk. And you can get drunk and you can lay down and you fall down. And all the room's spinning around. I used to love that. And it was telling me of what I was like. I couldn't get over it. God was speaking me directly into my life, that where I'd been and what I was doing. He knew all about it. He wanted to sort me out. And that helped me tremendously. And God will help you tremendously. You stick to the Bible. Stick to what's right, and God will help you. I'll just leave you with these two verses of Scripture. They're tremendous. I love them. In Romans 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Isn't that? I'm not ashamed of what. I'm ashamed of the man I used to be. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not ashamed of the man I am now, what God's making me. I'm still learning. Still get things wrong, you know. And that's what I love about my God. He's a forgiving God. And Colossians 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." So whenever you get stuck, if you're reading the Bible, God will help you to speak right to the people he wants you to speak to. He'll help you and encourage you, and he wants you to do the best you can. Thanks for listening. Over to you, Graham.
Great, good evening. Great to see you all. And it's great. I like to come into farming communities. The last church I was preaching in was in Colorado. And that was not a farming community. They were all cowboys. And every one of them was a cowboy. They wear these fancy big hats. And I borrowed one for the service. And I wore a check shirt. And I wore, of course, went in my jeans. Everybody had jeans on there. And it was great. And so I told them, I thought, well, how do we get on with the cowboy? So I told them a cowboy joke, so I'll tell you it tonight, all right? There was a little guy, actually, only small cowboy. They called him Pete. But he burst into the saloon one day, and he said, "I just want to know which guy in here has painted my horse blue." And so there was a big guy, big muscular, great guy, stood up and he said, "I did. My name's Jake and I did it." And he said, "What are you going to do about it?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I just wanted to know when you're going to put the next coat on." Well, there you are. That's it. That's my cowboy joke. Look, I could tell you some more, but I won't. But it's great to be in a farming community. The first thing I need to say to you guys, though, is I am not a farmer. I'm normal. Okay? So it's super to be here. Great to have Derek. We've been going back, I think it was 37 years ago when I first met Derek on a football field. And the Lord has brought us together. We've been all over the world together. And spoke to many people on soccer fields. We have an outreach game on every Tuesday night. And Derek has been doing a series while I've been away in America on his life and the difference that Christ has made. It's good to be here with you. What I'd like to do tonight is to give you a verse, and speak on it, that was actually the first verse of the Bible that I ever saw. And I didn't used to read my Bible right up till I was about, well, until I was converted at the age of 15, 1958. But what the first verse I ever saw was in the gymnasium of our church that there was. I didn't know it was a church. I just went to join the football club. They had a club, I joined it just to play soccer. I didn't know it was a Christian club. I just wanted to play indoor soccer. But at the back of the hall where we used to bang the ball, there was a massive text board. It was almost so big, it was big enough for a goal. And we'd always put a guy on the text board, and that's where we learnt head soccer ball, jump up, hit the board with our head on the ball, of course. And it was a verse on the text said this: I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. It didn't exactly say that, because it was so many years ago that it used the old version of the Bible, and it said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But I like the more modern version: I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. The words before that, before that, at the beginning of the text, it wasn't on the board, says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And you know, at that stage of my life, the one big thing that I wanted for my life was the best life. I didn't want a boring life. I wanted a life that was full. I used to always say 70 years. Well, I've gone past that now, so I want to be on the life more than 70 years. And I didn't want a boring life. I wanted life. Life to the full. That's what I was looking for. Although I was, you know, not a Christian, and I didn't read my Bible or go to church, only when we had to go on parade with a parade Sunday. That's the only time I was in. But there was this quest, there was this desire to find life. And that verse stuck at the crang the football. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I often thought, I wonder what that means. I wonder what that means. And then what happened in my life, it was just a little later on from that start that I was invited to go to a class on a Sunday afternoon. I didn't want to go because we played soccer on a Sunday afternoon. And the leader of the group said, if we went to the class, he knew we would be giving up soccer. He said, I'll give you an extra games night on a Monday night. And so I thought that was a fair deal. And I used to go to this class. And one day, a racing tipster came along. Now, I'd say another love for my life, as well as soccer, was horse racing. We had three horse stables in our town. We had a big race course around the back. And it was during that time that I got right into horse racing. I could tell you any horse, any jockey that was around, Egg de Britt, Bill Rickaby, they're just some of the that come to my mind. Eddie Hyde was another jockey. But I knew everything about horse racing. We had a big book in our house. It wasn't a Bible. It was as thick as a Bible. It was called the form book, and it told you what every horse had run, with courses it done well, and all like that. And we would have it. My brother was right into horse racing. He taught me how to pick winners. And it was during that time that the horse racing, because I was so into ex-tipster, came to our youth club. And I was obviously interested to hear this guy, and I sat there. And you know, he never mentioned horse racing once in his talk, but he did give a verse that absolutely transformed my whole thinking and challenged my life to the core. He spoke on these words, I am come that you might have life and have it to the full. And then he went on in his talk to another verse, which became a very precious life verse. Of course, that was the verse that was on the board. I am come that you might have life and have it to the full. But he also spoke on, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And at that stage of my life, I made a decision. It was to become a Christian. I really didn't think I'd ever become a Christian. I didn't even know what a Christian was, but I didn't want to know. And but the challenge of this life kept coming. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Kept coming at me. It was such a powerful verse to my life. And when this man went on to speak of why we should follow Christ, I committed my life. That was the age of 15, and that was over nearly 60 years ago. And so I can look at you guys and say, hey, I've been around a bit. I've traveled. I've been around a lot of countries. have had an awful lot of experience of life. And you said that when you were 15, you saw that verse, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. You know, tell me, you've gone through the biggest part of your life. Is it true? You know, you made that commitment. Did it really work? Did you discover the life? Well, I've got here, I want to tell you guys, I want to be absolutely honest with you tonight. So absolutely, wonderfully true that I want to live. I'm not ready to go to heaven. Some people are always ready to go to heaven, and that's great, but I just want to stay down on this planet a bit longer to speak to as many young people as I can possibly get to. I'm telling you my ambition now for this part of my life. And the reason I want to go, because I look out in that world and I see so many of them up. And I just want them to discover this life that I discovered that has been so real. Every cell of my body says Christ can give you a better life and he can give you a life to the full. Every cell of my body. I just want to live to take this message to young people. So, having mentioned that, you say, well, all right, substantiate words, you know, put a bit of meat on it. It's all right to make a statement like that, but I want to do that. I want to do it for two reasons. Number one reason, so you know exactly where I'm getting at. Number one, there may be somebody here who has not yet taken that step, like I did at 15, of asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. And I hope that what I say tonight will be so relevant to you that you'll say, that's exactly what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. So that's the first reason. The second reason, of course, that I know that many of you here are Christians. And I want you to get so excited about this life, see the depth of the quality of it, how wonderful it is and how great it is for this generation that you're living in. And I want you to be so excited that you say, I'm going to do exactly what Graham does. I want to give every cell, every little bit that I've got to take this message to as many as possible. And then it'd be worth me coming. You see, you are going to be able to speak now to far more people than I could ever speak to. Okay? For the whatever time I've got left. So if I can get, you know, I was saying this to a group of students in America, if I could get a group where I am now just saying, I'm going to do that, I'm going to, you know, share Christ like Derek has been saying to us in his word, and you're going to reach countless lives. You can change this generation. And so that's a reason why I want to share these things with you. So let me go start off with that verse that helped me to become a Christian. The second verse, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. That was the verse that challenged me. I hope it's going to challenge somebody. So there I was, sat with this group of kids. Many of us were non-church kids. And there was I, and it was just as though I'm thinking, now what do I want for my life? Well, I want to find simply what's the best way to go with my life. Here it is, I'm 15, big life in front of me. Want to find direction for my life. And I would suggest that that's probably true of most young people. You want to find the best way to go. The best direction to go. And that was me, and it was just as though, putting it so simple, it's though Jesus stood right in front of me, and he said, Graham, you want to find the way, follow me. I am the way. I am the way. And he said, I'll lead you, I'll get you through, I'll take you to where you should be. Just commit your life to following me. I am the way. Notice he didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the only way. You'll never find life, Graham, unless you start going my direction. Because I'm the way. So that challenged me. The second thing that challenged me was the very next thing that he said, I am the truth. I am the truth. And thinking about that, that's another thing that I wanted for my life. I wanted to base my life not on codswallop, not on a load of rubbish, because I got a lot of rubbish thrown at me. I think one guy came to me, I just started work, and he says, I'm telling you how to live, Graham. He says, 10 pints on a Friday night. That was one of the first philosophies that I got, you know. And that's the way to life, he said, you know. No, I'm so glad I didn't follow that advice. But the advice of Jesus and what he said, Graham, if you want to find the truth, if you want to find the one and only truth in this world, I am the truth. For this is the reason I came into the world, to bear witness of the truth. And I'll tell you something, I've studied a lot since I became a Christian. Many, many hours. Study sometimes the whole mornings now when I got a chance to study. I've read hundreds of books. I've read the Bible, of course, many times. And I'm absolutely convinced it's true. From Genesis to Revelation, everything Jesus said, as you analyze, just read his words, see what he said, and you'll see that it's sort of truth for your life. That's really what it is, truth, how to live, how to find God, how to find the purpose, how to find the meaning, the truth about life, the truth about God. And of course, we know that when he came, he definitely came, there was a Christ. He definitely died. That's true. And he definitely rose again from the dead. That's true. It really happened. There is a Christ. He did die. He did rise again. And he is the Son of God. And I challenge anybody. There was a guy called MacDowell. Is it Dowell? MacDowell? Is it? Yeah. Josh MacDowell. And he went in and he met a group of Christians. He was in a little cafe bar and he was training to be a lawyer, to study law. And he had a bit of a chip on his shoulders. He'd been abused, and sometimes when people have abused, they can get a chip. And he had a chip on his shoulders. And he went towards Christians. And he saw this group and he says, "You lot, you believe a load of rubbish." And so one of the girls, just one of the girls, this is where, you know, some of you girls, you can be a real powerful word. Just one little girl in the group said, "Just a moment. I said, I'll tell you what, if it is rubbish, you just disprove one thing about the big thing about the Christian life." And he said, "The big thing is that Jesus not only died on the cross, but he rose again. Prove that I wasn't true, and then I'll scrap being a Christian." He said, "All right, I'll do it." And he got a job. He got a job painting in his school holidays for university. He got a lot of money. He said, "I'm really going to take this serious. I'm going to go to England. I'm going to go to the Rylands Manchester Museum, because there I've been told there's actual fragments of the New Testament, actual real fragments." He said, "I'm going to go into there. I'm going to go to Germany. I'm going to talk to professors. I'm going to get a case, and I'm going to bring it back here, and I'm going to show you that Christianity is not true." After all this, we say, "Did he got the painting job? Earned a lot of money. Got on the plane. Went to Manchester. Went into Europe. He started talking to professors and everything. He looked at evidence. Came back Christian. In fact, now he's traveling all over America telling people." The wonderful, in fact, he wrote a book, "Evidence Demands a Verdict." It discovered that Christianity is... Listen, those of you who are Christians, you're on solid ground. Let me tell you that. And never be intimidated if you go to a professor and anybody in a university and think because they've got, you know, 20 degrees coming out their ears, they're going to be able to baffle you. They can't. You stood on the truth. Never forget that. The Bible is true. Jesus is all that he said he was. You can put it, it's a rock that will never move. Okay? So don't ever be intimidated. Stand up for your faith. It's absolutely true. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth, and," this is what thrilled me, "I am the life." Graham, you want to find life, do you? Well, you need to find me if you want life. Because I can so come into your life, I can give you power and strength, I can live in you. And that was the most thrilling truth after I became a Christian. It was 3 years later when I was at Cape and Ray Bible School, and all of a sudden it just grasped right through my whole being a truth that now I proclaim all over the world. You know what it is? Jesus lives the Christian life through you. You haven't to live it yourself. You can't. You haven't got what it takes. You haven't got the strength. You haven't got the courage. You haven't got the know-how. But wants to do. He wants to be to live this life through you. And you can have an enjoyable life, the life of Christ. That was so exciting to me. You know what I did? I said, "Jesus, if you want to live in a guy like me, I've made a bit of a mess in my Christian life. I've been a Christian 3 years. I haven't really touched anybody. But if you want to take it over, I'm going to come to a very important step, and I'm going to do this every day from now on. I'm going to hand my life to you that you might simply do this one thing, live your life through me. So if there's been any blessing that's come out of my life, and I've had an exciting time to say it's a great adventure. Now I'm getting on an aeroplane, and I'm going somewhere, just, as I say, going to Colorado, get out the plane. You're on this, all these weird Americans. You want a beef burger, hamburgers, whatever they call them. And you know, you're there, you're in America. And then my first thing was these cowboys. You know, and I just said, Lord, you know, I got up that morning. Thank you, Lord, what are you going to do? I'm so excited that you've got hold of my life. Begin your work. I'm going amongst these cowboys. And it was thrilling to see three of those cowboys give their lives to Christ that night. And it's just so thrilling because, not because I can do anything, or not the thing they think clever about me. I am just a weak, average, typical, in those days, when I was converted, teenager. And I didn't know any Bible. I didn't know. My grammar was so bad. When I went to Bible, they had a class school for teaching Germans and Austrians and people from South Koreans, that came to our Bible school. Many of them arrived and knew very little English, didn't know what on earth the lecture was saying. And so the very first job, right at the beginning of school, was they were sent to a class to learn basic English. Now, I've got a record. And the record that I have, I'm the only English guy that was ever sent to that class. My grammar was so bad. I was brought up on the estate with some rough kids, okay? We didn't talk Queen's English. You a bit of it now, but I still miss my H's. When you just listen to me preach, a few H's fly all over the shop. But you know, God, it didn't matter. He said, I can use weakness, I can use guys like you. You just let me have the right to live my life, because I am the life. Christianity is about discovering my life. I am the life. And what a revelation that was. And so that's one reason why he said it's the greatest life. Well, I suggest to you, because of Jesus, and because he's the way, because he's the truth, and because he is the life. And then the second reason is absolutely thrilling. He said this, I am. Notice the words all start with I am. These are some of the I ams that I'm doing tonight. This is another I am of Christ. He said, not only am I the way, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Never hunger, never thirst. What does that mean? Basically, it means, let me put it in our simple language tonight, it means you'll be totally satisfied. You'll be totally satisfied. And I can look back and can say, Graham, did he really satisfy your life? I mean, you absolutely. When I was a teenager, full of life, football crazy, just wanting to live, loads of energy, you know, like that, buzzing all over the shop. And yet there's so many other things coming at my life. What about the pub? What about, you know, I never got into drugs, but there's always been there, opportunities to go to things, to fill my life that without Christ. You know, that Jesus says, I am the one, Graham. I can totally satisfy you. Just come to me. And let me fill your life with my life. And he will satisfy you. I am the bread of life. There's a God-shaped hole in everybody's life. And only when God fills it are we fully satisfied. If we've got the things of the world in, other things crammed in there, you'll never be satisfied. Even as a Christian, it's got to be all for Jesus. When you let him fill your life, it becomes full. That word, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that comes before that. You know, there is a thief. Somebody's trying to rob our lives of fun, of life, of all the good things in it. And that's Satan. That's Satan. And I just happened to be looking at some research from a computer for something I was doing. And I wanted to look at this girl called Amy Winehouse. And I thought, I just need to get to know what it was about that girl's life, because basically, as I read about her, she was a beautiful girl, she's a great singer, very talented, And she slowly got into drink. And then she had a boyfriend, and they got into drugs, really big time drugs. And there's a girl who wanted to be happy. And then you see the downhill. We see her going to rehab for drink problems and drug problems. And when she was 27 years of age, she actually overdosed and killed herself. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And I, as I read that little bit about that life of that girl, I thought, how many of this so sad. When I was in America this time, I read another article about life in America. It said that over 30,000 a year young people die of overdoses. 30,000. If you got that 30,000 and you got those people who are terribly mad, say, well, why did he do it? Well, I was looking for life. I wanted fun. But of course, the thief came and robbed them. Listen, Jesus does exactly the opposite. He won't rob you, he'll give you life. Life to the full. And there's an old song that we sung many years ago in church. I don't know if we sing it today, but it says this: I have tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters fail. Even when I stooped to drink and mock me as I will, now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love, there's life, and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. There was another woman in the Bible. She thought she'd get this satisfaction through sex. And it's the story of this young woman who Jesus met at the well, if you know the story. She was a bit of a party girl. She'd gone through five husbands, five marriages, and every one. And then when Jesus met her, she was living with another guy, committing adultery with him. A party girl. And just trying. Jesus said this to her. This is what Jesus said to this woman who was just trying through sex to get her life satisfied. And he said this: if you knew, if only you knew. And I sometimes think that when I'm talking to young people, if only I could get it over to young people. And maybe Jesus is saying to someone, you, the gift of God, who it is that asks for you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. That's what Jesus wants to give your life and what he wants to give my life. Living water. He said, if only you knew the quality of life that you can have when you totally follow me. If only you knew that. Sometimes ignorance is one of the greatest things that spoils us from having a good life. Ignorance of what Jesus can really put into your life and make of your life. And so Jesus, with this lady, he, of course, came. She became a Christian. She got so excited about what she'd found out. She won up the whole of a village to Christ. It's an amazing story. You can read it in John 4. Let me give you another one, which is very important to young people. I'm trying to get into your heart. I'm trying to show you tonight, you guys. I'm trying to get you thrilled about this life that Christ offers. I want you to be excited about it. And here's another great one for young people. It's another one of the I Ams. And he says this: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But will have the light of life. Christ, this word, light of life, really is, let me put it in our language again, it's really the moral strength to live a clean life. Now, with all my problems, with all my failings as a young person, deep down in my being, I want to tell you something. I wanted to live a clean life. I've struggled against it, I'll tell you. I wanted to live a life, but the problem was that I was finding as going through my teens was I couldn't do it. I wanted to be clean, but I wasn't. I used to take out newspapers on a Sunday, because I say I want a church person, and I took out the News of the World. That was the big sort of paper in those days. It had lots of impure, crude stories in, and I would feed myself on that paper, the News of the World. And it was beginning to get my thinking. The thinking was getting, and I knew it was wrong, and I didn't want to do it, but it seemed to be getting such a grip of my life. Of course, we didn't have computers in those days, but I'll tell you, one of the big problems with many young people, both in church, I've got to say, as well as out of church, is pornography. I think, as I said, a lot of my time is spent with students, and it's a big issue. They're getting hooked on porn. They can't stop looking at the stuff. And it's messing up their lives, making them unclean. They often come after meetings and say, "Graham, what you said about pornography, that's what I'm doing. And I just want to break it." And the wonderful thing about Jesus, he says these words, "I am the light of the world." I can bring a light into your life. And when you bring a light into wherever it's dark, and pornography is dark, let me tell you that. But where you bring a light into it, the dark has got to go. It's got to go. Light drives it away. You come into this room, turn all the lights off, close the door tonight, and it'd be as black as anything in this world. But you flick the lights on, and all of a sudden, all that dark's gone. Jesus really, when he said, "I am the light of the world," that's what he meant. I can drive darkness out of your life. I was in my early 20s, when I discovered something of it. I had a job then. I used to work for a chemical firm, a hygiene firm, and my job was to go around where there were telephones. I had a spray that helped, supposed to help to keep flu out of offices, and I had to wipe the telephones in offices with a sort of disinfectant because different people using the phones, and so I went around offices and shops and different places with this equipment and cleaned them. And got this call. It was Annaby Road, Hull. I remember the address, just off Annaby Road. I came with the car outside Annaby Road, looked at the shop where I had to go to, and to my horror, it was a pornography shop. And I thought, oh. And by then, I'd become a Christian, and I knew that it was wrong to look at porn. But there I was. And I had to go in. It was my job. My boss had sent me there. And so very, very nervously, I got my hygiene bag, went in. I said, "Excuse me, where's the telephone?" And they said, "It's in the back room." Well, the back room was where they kept the porn that the police wouldn't allow them even in a pawn shop to put out. It was where all the worst porn was. And there was amongst it all. You know, something happened to me on that. I just walked in. I just thought, I hope nobody from our church sees me going in here, but I've got to go in. I shot, went to the back row, and then, you know, as something, this is the only way I can describe it to you. It's like a magnet, okay? It took my head, it looked at the telephone, I got it, I cleaned the telephone, put it down on its spot, said goodbye to the guy, walked out, and this is a miracle, okay? It's a miracle. I didn't look at one piece of pornography. And I got round and sat in my car, and I just went, wow, I couldn't believe that. The power of Jesus then in my life. It was so real. And that's why I can say to you, you know, that's just one instant I pick out of my life. They said, this is real, this really works. You commit your life to Christ, you ask him to be the light in your life, and he drives the darkness out, and I'll tell you what, I never ever in my life ever want to go to a pornography shop ever again. But I know that if it ever, that temptation's ever there, and it still comes to all of us, doesn't it? There's Jesus there. And he just says, quit. I don't want you down that road. And I can tell you, when you're 70, you still get temptations. But the power of Jesus has lasted me through my life and helped me. And he still helped me. I still need him so desperately. And he's always there to help me in that area. That's why it's the greatest life on the planet. He says, you come to me and you'll have the light of life. That's the moral strength. It came to me. It was the strength that stopped my eyes looking at the porn, which all my body wanted to look at. The power of Jesus. It's real for young people today. It's available. And he can, there's a lovely verse at the end of Revelation chapter 3. You all know it maybe. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's called the light of the world. If you go up St. Paul's steps and go into St. Paul's Cathedral and look there, there's a massive picture of Christ. You may have seen the picture of Christ with a big light. And there's a dark room. There's Christ stood banging on the door of that dark room. What's he doing that for? Well, he wants to get in. Because there's darkness there and he wants to drive it out. And the verse says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in. I'll come into the darkness and I'll drive it away from your life." That's what Jesus does. And that's what he wants to do in your life. Let me just give you one more. There are other I ams. I haven't time to do them. I'm going to finish one more because let me just mention two others and then I'll finish with this last one. He said, "I am the good shepherd." Let me just say this before I move on to this last one. You commit your life to Christ and he will look after you. He'll lead you. He's a good shepherd. And then he said, "I am the door." He said, "I'm the door. If anyone comes through me, you'll be saved." And I just want to say, before I come to the last one, there might be somebody tonight here. Listen, he said, "Graham, will you tell me exactly what I've got to do to become a real, genuine Christian?" I'm going to tell you. Open the door of your life tonight to Christ. That's what you've got to do. And he'll come in. He'll come in. And he'll make your life a blessing. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He says, I'll come into your life. I'll live through your life. And I'll make your life so fruitful. There'll be blessing wherever you go. Because I'll be living through your life. And that's what Christianity is. Well, the last one, let me go to it. Another I am. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Now, every single person on this planet, including you, one day you've got to die. Nobody can escape it, okay? Death is one of the greatest certainties. We're all scared. My little mate who I used to call for school, I forgot his name now, Cooper. Yeah, I was going to pick him up and take him to school. And it absolutely devastated my life when I went round and they said, "Don't go. Don't knock on his door." Because last night he drowned. Beck. And my schoolmate, dead. And I began to think about death. I was scared about death. Once you see somebody die close to you, it sort of haunts you sometimes. I've got to die. And then it was after that. He broke the power of death. And this is why it's so exciting that when you come, and this is why it's such a great life. Do you know what it is? Let you say, "Graham, will you just simply sum this life up?" I'm going to do. It's eternal. It's called eternal life. It lasts forever. So what happens when a Christian dies? A friend of mine who I knew very well, I went climbing up mountains with him, climbed up flat rock with him. He saved my life. Slipped on the trying to get over a hangover, and he had rope and he saved my life. Great friend, he's the director of Austrian Bible school. We called him Hans Peter, one of the greatest, great mountain climber, absolutely gifted, a mountain rescue man. Tell me all stories of climbing up mountains and rescuing people. Some had frozen to death, and he said, "Then we didn't even carry him down, we just chopped the rope and dropped down to the bottom." He said, "We didn't even bother because it's too risky to carry a frozen body down." And he told me all kinds of stories. But one day he was on one of these flying things where you jump off the mountain. I don't know what you call them, gliders, whatever. And all of a sudden a wind just swept him and he hit the rock and it smashed the machine. And of course he died. And I took the footballers one year. I said, "I want to take you to the grave of Hans Peter." And we stood at the grave. There we were, all the football team. We stood around it. And I said, "You see," he looked up at the mountain. I said, "You see that rock there? That's where he jumped. And that's somewhere around there he fell." I said, "I want to tell you something that Hans Peter said." I said, "I've never forgotten it." He said this. He said this before he died. "A Christian is not 1 second dead. The moment, the flash, you don't even see death." I believe that God takes your spirit before you die. You'll not see death and you'll go straight into the presence of God. Forever. Forever. So 10,000 years' time, you'll be there. And you'll be living, you'll be more alive than you are now. And you'll be living this fantastic life in the presence. That's what Christ came to give mankind. He wanted to deal with problems like sin and evil that come to us. He wanted to give us life so that we could live forever. And the greatest thing a human being on this planet could ever do is commit their life to Jesus Christ. Most relevant, most significant, most sensible thing that you could ever do with your life. So, on what I've shared tonight, I just want to say, it is the greatest life on the planet. That's the one booklet that I've written. And it's one I've given out to many footballers. End of the game. I'd like to give you this. It's a planet. And I'd like to give this to anybody here tonight who might be thinking, yeah, Graham, I want to become a Christian. I want Christ to come in. I'm going to pray for you so you can do that. And then for those of you who are Christians here, I hope that what I've shared tonight has made sense. I hope that you're saying, Graham, what you're saying is true. And I just want to let Christ do exactly what you did when you were 18 years of age. You became a Christian at 15, but 18, you just simply said, here's my life. I want you to think through my mind, speak with my lips, love with my heart. I want you to live in me so that where I go, Jesus goes. And I might share the power of your resurrection. And every day now I get up and I say the same prayer. Not always in the same words, I change them around so it's not boring and Christ doesn't get fed up with me saying them, but I just say, Lord, today I want you to live in me. I want you to speak through my lips, love with my heart, and just use my life today. And it's exciting. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Who's Jesus going to? I don't know. I don't know. I'm so thankful that I was spoke to a cow. A guy came in a wheelchair at the cowboy meeting. He'd been going to church for many weeks to the cowboy church. Everybody had tried to witness to him. But that night, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he gave his life to Christ. I'm just so glad that I was around to see it happen. To see what God could do through a weak guy like me. And you don't have to be special. That's what I want to say to you guys. Don't think you've got to, you know, to go to, you know, Bible school for 50 years and go to 100... It just uses people. Yorkshire kids like me. Football crazy kids. He even uses farmers. Believe it. But he does. And I tease the farmers, but I've got a lot of great friends. And there's some fantastic Christians in those farms around the place who know Jesus. And he's working on their farms through their lives. So I'm going to close with a simple prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer for anybody here. You're not a Christian tonight, and God is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit's giving you a bit of a dig, and that's good because he loves you. And tonight you're going to do that wonderful thing. You're going to open your life tonight for Christ. And I'm going to give you a prayer for that, and then I'll pray for the Christian. Let's just pray. This is the prayer. Dear God, I'm looking for life. I'm looking for a meaning and a purpose for my life. I want to know what is the best way to go with my life. It's all in front of me, and I want the very best. I don't want a boring life. I want life to the full. And tonight I recognize very clearly that if I'm going to have life to the full, you're going to have to come into my life to save me from my sin, because that's what you did on the cross for me. Thank you for the cross. And then you rose again so you could live in me. And today, tonight, I'm going to make a very simple but very important prayer. This is the prayer. Lord Jesus, you pray, come and live your life in me. And I will follow you for the rest of my days. I'm not going to the world because it doesn't satisfy. I'm going to Christ because he does. Thank you for coming into my life tonight. Help me to be bold enough to tell somebody I've become a Christian. I'm not ashamed. And then those of us who are Christians, we want to say, Lord, thank you that you died for me so that you could live in me. You died for me so you could share the power of your resurrection with my life. You died for me so that I could be a partaker of the Holy Spirit. And through the life of the Spirit, the life of Christ can come to my life. And I want to live my life for Christ. And Lord, as Derek shared with us, that we need to tell this message to this generation that we live in. There are hundreds who are trying the wrong things, drugs and drink and sex outside of marriage. And some of them are getting into an awful mess. Some of them have got habits they can't break. Some of them are waking up in their own vomit because they've drunk too much. Father, I just pray that you'll use my life as a channel for you to live and reach out to these lives. They'll see Christ living in me as I go and meet with them. Friends at school, people I meet with, members in my own family that are not Christian. Lord, just help me to be a channel that you can live through to reach them. I pray you'll do it with my life. Thank you for saving me for this great purpose. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a song. I think it's a great song. You just listen to the words. It's called Love Divine. But the words are fantastic. It's asking God's salvation to come to our lives. And that's what I trust some of you will do tonight. And then if you prayed the prayer, last thing before the group starts singing, if you made that prayer, just there's one little thing I want you to do. Ask me for my little booklet. I want you to do that for two reasons. One, I want to give you this, because it will give you more fully what I've said tonight. And secondly, it's good to tell somebody if you become a Christian. So if you're giving your life to Christ, just let me know, and I'll rejoice with you. And then it's a good way to start. I'm going to make it known tonight. So do that. And that's a little way you can do it, by just saying, coming along. Don't be shy. Just take a booklet from me. Thank you. May God bless you.